I preached a sermon yesterday on the heart, and some of those thoughts are still on my mind today. Today, I'd like to develop it a little bit more and talk about our tongue as it relates to the heart. Jesus said in Luke 12 and 34, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, I know where your heart is. What I don't know is where your treasure is. Your heart is wherever your treasure is. Y'all understand that? The heart is the seat of affection. The scripture describes two different kinds of hearts. There is a deceitful, cold, stony heart. There is an ungrateful heart. And it is also a blind heart. That describes that stony heart. It's ungrateful, stony, blind, deceitful. But there's a contrast in the scriptures that talks about a heart of flesh. That heart of flesh is soft. It's warm. It's enlarged even. And that is called a heart of flesh. Now, it's not talking about that pumper of blood in your natural body. This is talking about the very seat of your affections, or what you hold to in this world. It is very closely related to, and sometimes interchangeable with, the conscience. You know, last year or so, we spent several sermons talking about the conscience. I want us to think that and remember what Jesus said: out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we've got a heart, we've got a treasure, and we've got a mouth speaking of that treasure. I heard a phrase that my dear friend told me a long time ago, and he said, I think it sums it up perfect. He says, "What is in the well of the heart will be drawn out in the bucket of speech." Do y'all get that picture? It's the same exact thing that Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But that gives us a little bit more of a word picture description that we can understand. You have a well, and you have a bucket. And you let the bucket down, and whatever is in the well will be drawn up and poured out. And the same thing that's way down in the well is what's going to be poured out up top. And Jesus says, "For the out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Whatever is in your heart will eventually come out of your mouth. Whatever you treasure will come out of your mouth. If you have bitterness, envy, strife, contention, that'll come out of your mouth. If you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that'll come out of your mouth. Your mouth and your actions declare where your heart is, and it declares what your treasure is. Whatever we do, whatever we say, declares really what's in our heart. It declares where our heart is and where our and what our treasure is. Y'all get that? Now we have a problem. Because the heart of a natural man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. That is that cold and stony heart. That is that heart that cannot be touched. That's the heart that only can be cut to, not pricked in. So the natural man in his natural conception has a natural, cold, stony heart that hates God, that is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That doesn't mean that God doesn't have the power to change it, but that heart in and of itself that's cold and stony is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, and it's not subject to the law of God because He hasn't subjected it to Him yet. If indeed He ever does. Y'all get that? So in the natural condition, something must happen to us in order for us to understand and hear and love the things of God. It is something must happen to that cold and stony heart for us to think about something other than ourselves. Something must happen to that cold and stony heart. And do you know what God told Ezekiel? God said, "I am going to take a new," in 36, Ezekiel 36 and 26. He said, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." God makes that exchange. God performs that surgery. God takes that heart of stone out and puts a heart of flesh. And the only way that we can tell the difference of when that surgery occurred is by what comes out of our mouth and how we conduct our lives. That's the only way that I'm going to know. God knows whether He makes that circumcision of the heart or whether that cutting happens. whether that surgery, God knows whether He performed that surgery on you. But that surgery must be performed before a man is able to demonstrate where his treasure is. No, he's going to demonstrate where his treasure is regardless. But if you have a godly treasure, the only way that you can demonstrate that your treasure is with God and your hope is in Jesus Christ is if you've had that stony heart taken out and the heart of flesh implanted in there by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we have several examples of a cold and stony heart as opposed to a warm and fleshy heart in the Scriptures. We find in Matthew 12, and 34. Well, back up to 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. Meaning, don't try to make one thing what it's not. You can't make you can't just say that a bad tree has good fruit. And you can't say that a good fruit or that a good tree has bad fruit because it's not consistent with one another. Oh, and he says, for the tree is known by his fruit. That kind of sounds to me like what's in the well of the heart will be drawn out in a bucket of speech, don't it? Whatever is at the very core of that thing is going to come out. I want you to realize too that the root bears the fruit. The fruit does not bear the root. Y'all get that? You can't make the tree good by the fruit that it bears. You can't make the... Y'all get that? First, it must be rooted first, and then the fruit comes. The fruit doesn't come and grow backwards down into the root. Jesus is simple. This is simple stuff. He used planting, sowing, reaping, farming. He used all kind of terms in the Scriptures to describe spiritual things using natural things. And this is a natural thing that Jesus used. The root bears the fruit. The fruit does not bear the root or make it good. If that was true, people could just say, a wicked person could say with his mouth, I believe in Jesus, and it would make him good or make his root good. But you know, there's a lot of deceivers out there, isn't it? Because the natural heart is what? Desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Y'all following me today? Now, so the problem that we have is our natural flesh is born, conceived with that stony heart, and it must have a heart of flesh in order to demonstrate godly things. That's simple, isn't it? Now, how does this happen? Well, let me finish reading this first. Jesus said, O generation of vipers, that is a poisonous snake. You know what a poisonous snake does? He sticks out his tongue to test the air. Well, all snakes do that, the poisonous ones and the ones that aren't. Poisonous snake. if bitten, causes great swelling, loss of limb, and sometimes they'll kill you. Jesus called these people that kind of poison. He called them a snake, a poisonous snake. He said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Well, I'm going to answer that question. They can't. They can't speak good things because that's not what's in their heart. They don't treasure good things, therefore they can't speak good things. Now, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Listen to this. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. You got a good man, good treasure, good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. Evil man, evil treasure, evil things. There's a consistency with these two different groups. And the consistency is that whatever the root is, that's what the fruit is. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall... I want you to listen to this. They shall give account thereof in the day of judgment, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You ever been condemned for words that you spoke? Has your heart ever condemned you for the words that you spoke? This is not only talking about that last day. You know, everybody talks about the last day of judgment. This is not only talking about that. This is talking about the Lord and the Spirit of God convicting our hearts, and our hearts convicting us of the words that we speak on a daily basis. And if you speak, if whatever comes out of your mouth demonstrates where your treasure is, it justifies what's at the core of your heart. It justifies what your treasure is, whatever you speak. It's not talking about being justified in the court of God's glory. We're justified by His grace. We're justified by His blood. But what comes out of our mouth also justifies us as what we have in our heart. This is a big subject. I'll not deal with it all today. But I want us to think about that change that has to happen. And I want to talk about that for just a minute. Turn over with me to... let me just give you an example of how this uncircumcised heart Acts and what it says. In Acts 7 and 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Their actions expressed what kind of heart they had and where their treasure was. Their treasure certainly wasn't the Lord of glory, and it certainly wasn't the God of all grace, because they hadn't had that circumcision of the heart yet. Y'all get that? God hadn't performed that surgery. He hadn't taken out their hard and cold and stony heart and implanted and given them a heart of flesh and His Spirit yet, if indeed He ever did. Now, I want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to read about this. Two and nine. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. That's not talking about, oh, we don't understand what glory is going to be like. We don't. But that's not what, in this context, this is talking about the natural heart of man has not seen nor heard the things that God has prepared for them that love Him because he hasn't subjected his heart to Him yet. Now, the other is certainly true. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I know some things what it's going to be like. But I can only imagine what it's going to be like. But that's not what this is talking about. Now, because we have a change that happens in here, that's the uncircumcised heart, hasn't heard or nothing's entered into it. Number 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. That means that the only thing that the uncircumcised heart can perceive is natural things. That's what that's saying. The only things that the uncircumcised heart can know is natural things. And the only thing that the uncircumcised heart can speak out of the mouth and act is uncircumcised worldly, natural things. That's the only thing that can come out or fruit that can be born from that kind of tree. The only kind of things that come out of their mouth, because that's where their treasure is, because that's where their heart is. It's in the world. Now, that's the only thing that come out of their mouth. But the spiritual man, listen to this. He said he's revealed them unto us by the Spirit. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. So it has entered into the heart of man, and you can see the things that God has given to you if you've been visited by the Spirit of God. And He's taken out that heart of stone and put that heart of flesh in its place. It takes the power of God to do that, and He does it by the operation of the Spirit. Now, that's called being born again. It's a new creation. In that natural creation, all you got was a stony heart. But in the new creation, you're now in the image of God. Now, He says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, listen to this, but the natural man, the uncircumcised in heart man, the unborn again man, the man that has the heart of stone, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It didn't say that he would if he could. It didn't say that he might if the preacher gets there and preaches to it. I'm telling you, friends, the idea that a preacher of the gospel, can, like me doing this morning, could take my words and cause you to just hear the words that I'm speaking, and then you could make the root good and the tree good and change what's in your heart. My friends, that is putting way too much obligation and way too much power and way too much weight in my words. I can't do it. It takes the power of God to change your heart and change your treasure and change your mouth and what comes out of it. It takes the power of God to do that. Because a natural man, it said, can't. And I get so frustrated at people that negate clearly what God's Word says by thinking that a man can change someone's heart by their words. This says that the natural man cannot receive the things of God. And the idea that somebody would go out and just try to preach to somebody and get them saved, it goes against the grain of the whole Scripture. I'm not saying we ought not to preach the gospel. We ought to. And we ought to let people know, because I don't know what's in their heart. Somebody may have it in there and just ain't saying nothing that you've heard. God may have already performed that circumcision of heart. But you might not have seen it. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Now, now I want to turn over to 1 John, because I want to deal with some things right here that are very vital for us to realize. Verse 14. 3 and 14 of 1 John. We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Why do you love the brethren? That's an evidence that God has circumcised your heart. That's an evidence and an action that comes out of that new treasure and new heart, and you love the brethren. It's a demonstration that God has performed that surgery in your heart. He says, pass from death unto life. That means from being dead in trespasses and sins to having a life in Christ. That means from being an unborn again man and an old natural creation to the new creation. The old man to the new man. That's what that's talking about. Many different terms are used in the Scriptures. Unregenerate to regenerate. From wicked to righteous. Amen. Now, he says, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. He's not just talking about taking someone's physical life. You understand? You know, because the Lord called a murderer something later on, earlier on. He describes what a murderer is. He takes it to the matter of the heart. Not just what they do, but the motivations and treasure of their heart. Now, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hateth his, whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? He's asking that question. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Do y'all know what John's dealing with here? John's dealing with people that just give lip service as opposed to actual doing of service. You know, they say and do not. Jesus dealt with this very specifically when He talked to them and gave them a parable of the father that had two sons, and He told them both to go work in the field. And one of them said, I'll go, Father. That sounds pretty good. A willing and obedient child that speaks out of his mouth, that says, I'm going to go work. And he doesn't go, though. And one told his father, I'm not going to work. But he repented of that and he went. Which one did the will of his father? It wasn't the one that said it. He was going. It's the one that actually went. That's the one that did the will of the Father. So the Lord is very concerned, not so much with what you say with your lips, but the motivation of your heart and actually what you do. You understand? Now, He says, and hereby we know, I want y'all to really listen to this, because this is serious. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. Remember, we're talking about a heart. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. Has your heart ever condemned you? If your heart has condemned you, be happy, because that means that that's the good circumcised heart condemning you for something that you've done against it. Remember, we're not talking about two different hearts here. We're talking about one heart. And it either will commend you and assure your heart, or it will condemn you. How's that possible? I'm going to break it down for you. If God has given you a heart of flesh, and God has performed that circumcision on your heart, and you are a born-again person, and you act inconsistently with that born-again nature, your heart will condemn you. Have you ever felt it? Have you ever lied? Have you ever cheated? Have you ever stolen? Have you ever been a backbiter or a busybody? Have you ever been a gossiper or a person that told things out? Have you ever been a person that promoted yourself above someone else and your heart condemned you because that's not the way that God expects His children to live in His kingdom? Has your heart ever condemned you? Mine has. And if you say it hadn't, you're deceiving yourself. He's talking about whatever's in the well of your heart, wherever your treasure. He talked about bringing forth of his treasures, both good things, both old and new things, treasures out of his treasure. Whatever's in your heart's going to come out, and if you as a child of God are bringing forth bitter waters out of your well, then you need to do a spiritual self-checkup. You need to check yourself. I tell you, because when God takes out that stony heart and gives you a heart of flesh, you still retain your sinfulness, don't you? You prove it every day. If it would have been me, just thinking on the surface, I would have, if I'd have been God, I'd have just taken all my children and made it to where they couldn't sin. Then what would the world look like? We all would be no different than Jesus Christ. You ever thought about that? If God subdued, no, not subdued. If God made us incapable of sinning, we would be like Jesus Christ in this world. And he wouldn't get the glory. You ponder about that. But time and time and time again in the scriptures, it demonstrates that we are sinners. And and it's all to the glory of God. And Paul in Romans 7 described that condition very perfectly by the Spirit of God when he was talking about the death that was in him when sin revived, or when the commandment came, talking about his circumcision of heart. When God changed that heart of stone into a heart of flesh, he said, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And he went on and talked about the struggles of being a conflicted man now. He didn't take out that, he didn't take out the spirit that you have as a natural man, but he implanted his spirit within. We're still all capable of sinning. And then Paul comes right down because it was such a convicting thing for Paul that he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And then he starts it out, "I thank God through Jesus Christ." And then he starts out Romans 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus." Now, I want to tell you one thing. What comes out of our mouth is demonstrating what's in the well of our heart. And we are capable as children of God, of speaking lies, backbiting, and all that, because we still retain our sinful nature in the new birth. But the whole New Testament scriptures talks about more. The whole tenor is to mortify the deeds of the flesh and follow after Christ. Follow after our new heart and our new way. Now, he says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God." You know, if our heart condemns us, we can rest in the fact that God's greater than our heart. Amen? He's the one that made the surgery. He's greater than our heart. And if our heart condemn us, ought we not to fear Him who's greater than our heart? And if we're not acting consistently with that new heart, ought we not to fear Him? I tell you, but if I see a child of God acting consistently with his new heart, then I tell you, somebody that has some surety about it. We'll assure our hearts before Him. We're acting consistently as we ought to act, as He intends for us to act in giving us a new heart. Do you think God gave us a new heart for us to just put it on the shelf and box it up and leave it alone? Or do you think that He expects us to live that way? I think God expects us to live that way. That's what the whole scripture says. You follow me. You don't follow after the flesh. You follow me. And if you don't, your heart's not going to be very assured, is it? You're not going to have a lot of surety if you don't act consistent with that new nature. But you will assure your hearts before Him when you act consistently with His new nature. Now, I want it, because James dealt with this very strongly. Turn to James chapter 1. Just turn back a few pages to James. Verse 21. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." You know what superfluity means? It means excess. "So lay apart all filthiness and excess of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word." That means implanted word. That's the word God implanted in you. And being in that condition, we ought to put away, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, which is able to save your souls. You know, you can destroy your life with your mouth. Did you know that? You can destroy relationships. You can destroy your testimony. You can destroy your witness in the service of God by the things that you say. Did you know that? You can. I've come close to doing it several times because I didn't check myself. Now, listen to this. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You being a born again, child of God, still can deceive yourself because you still have sinful nature. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That's just your nominal shallow Christian that goes around saying, I'm a child of God, I'm a child of God, and then they act like the devil all day long. They're deceiving themselves. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, see, there's that continuing therein, drawing out of the good well, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, you know any people that seem to be religious? That profess that they're religious? You know what religious means? Y'all know, this is the only time this word's used in the whole scripture. You know what it means? This word religious here means fear God. It means having a fear of God and worshiping Him. Not from a fearful basis, but because you fear Him, because you understand He's a sovereign God. And He's a serious God. Why do people worship anything? It's some people worship things because they're afraid. They're afraid of going to hell, or they're afraid of not being translated into something else when they come back and get reincarnated or something. There's all different reasons why people worship stuff. But if you profess that you have a fear of God and you're worshiping Him, then he says, then if any man seems to be religious, listen to what he says. If any man among you seem to be religious or have the fear of God and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You know what that word religion there means? It means it's derived from that first word. It's a little bit different. It means the external ceremony of religion. It means the practice or thing that you've... It means a religious doctrine or whatever doctrine you've been trained in. It's the external performance of what you have in your heart. If a man says that he fears God and then his actions don't demonstrate it and his words don't demonstrate it, that man's external performance is vain. Is what James is serious, ain't he? James don't play around. James tells you how the cow chewed the cud, don't he? He says if you give lip service and you're not acting consistent with your lip service, whatever is driving your external performance, your external worship, it's vain. This man's religion is vain. Now, pure religion, that means external doing, and undefiled or holy before God and the Father is this. This is pure religion. James says, to visit the fatherless. That means orphans. And widows in their affliction. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. You want to know what religion is? A lot of people think religion is, well, today's definition, I guess, is the second definition. It's just your outward rites and ceremonies. James says that pure religion is to visit the fatherless and the widows and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. That means don't live in the world. I mean, we have to live in the world, but not according to the world. That's what that means. Don't live according to the world. Put your money where your mouth is. Assure your hearts before Him. And James goes on in the rest of this book to develop the battle for the tongue. You know, he says later on, I believe it's in chapter 3, maybe he says, it's an unruly evil. No man can tame the tongue. He says he's tamed all kind of beasts. But the tongue can no man tame. You know why? Because I could beat you with a whip and tell you not to say something. And you know what you'd do if I turned my back? You'd talk under your breath so that I couldn't hear you. You can't whoop bad tongues out of people. You can't whoop the tongue into shape. But you know who can? It said no man can tame it. You know what can tame our tongues? The God of glory. He's the only one that can tame our tongues. Do you know? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if you're not, I tell you what, there may be some folks here that are just giving lip service to, you know, I mentioned it yesterday. I can't stand people to lie to me. I can't stand people to lie to me, whether they're it's a bald-faced liar or whether they're just shooting me with a sunshine gun. You know? I don't like that. I want people to be honest and forthright with me. Y'all known people like that? That you don't really want to be around them because you know they're just shooting you full of sunshine? I don't know the word for it. They're ingenuine. They're not genuine. I want genuine people that have been genuinely born again, that have a genuine treasure from a genuine heart to demonstrate that genuineness with their lips and their actions. You know what David said in Psalm 107, I believe? He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I tell you, Hebrews 13:9, you don't got to go over there. He says, be not carried about with diverse, that means all different kind of ways, and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats or an external show, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. I tell you, that's a whole nother sermon in itself. I want us to think about. I want us to watch what we say. I want us to watch how we say it. I want us to watch what we do and how we do it, because it is an evidence of what's in our heart. If God's changed your heart, do it. Demonstrate it. Let it be an example for your life. May God richly bless us and keep us this week. Be a blessing to someone this week, and let's try to watch what comes out of our mouths and how we work with our hands, that it be glorifying to God. Doors of the church are open for reception of members. Should any have that desire to come and demonstrate what's in their heart, may God bless you is my prayer.